This Sunday's Palm Sunday. In Silchester, we would normally be meeting at the village hall to walk through the common and along the drove to the church, led by a donkey, accompanied by children acting out the passion story dramas on the way. In the past, I understand, we have been accompanied by Roman soldiers and ended up in the Roman amphitheatre. I gather a previous Archbishop of Canterbury, George Carey, led hundreds of people on the walk at the Millennium. This year we were preparing ourselves to cancel or divert the walk because of flooding. Though that's now dried up, we have had to cancel along with all other village events over the coming weeks because of the lockdown. Silchester is a place where organisations, events and activities, along with the school, churches and pub, are what help to weld the village together and maintain such a strong community spirit. And I suspect many feel as bereft as me, with nothing to go to and no opportunity to meet, though thank God for internet and telephone contacts. So I've started asking myself, how are we all coping? Different personalities cope in different ways. An extreme introvert I was talking to the other day said it was great so far. But there must be others, especially some parents, who are tearing their hair out. Not a problem I have. We all have different personalities, and I think it helps us to cope and helps us to support each other if we can recognise that. And I would like to explore that today in the context of how we each face lockdown today and the Palm Sunday readings. The first reading I'm going to read today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfil what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The second reading is Psalm 118. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever." And may I add, let Tadley and Pamber Heath and Silchester say, his love endures forever. The psalmist says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defence. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I expect most of us have come across those questionnaires in magazines, which help us to find ourselves or find an ideal partner. Or maybe we've been faced at interview with one of those personality tests, much beloved by personnel, human resource departments. You'll also find those tests in church life. And some years ago, I came across one called the Enneagram. It does help you to know yourself better, and you arrive at a type and number which Enneagram addicts love talking about and bore everyone else to tears with. But unlike some of the other personality tests, it doesn't necessarily require you to fill in a questionnaire, although sometimes you do. And in my experience, works best through conversation and discussion about how we approach things and our attitude to life. It's more about discovering emotions and motivation than defining you with a number or particular style. It highlights what to avoid as much as what to accept and enjoy. So, for instance, a number two just wants to care for others, which is great. But every number has a downside, and in the case of a number two, that caring can be suffocating, whilst its self-sacrifice can become self-indulgent. A number nine is laid back. Why are you getting so het up about that? Chill. Which is also fine, but can be incredibly annoying and unhelpful to others at times. I'm a number seven, which amongst other things means that I spend much of my waking life planning for and living in the possibilities of the future, and consequently, sometimes, and sadly, miss out on the now. For instance, I really enjoy working on a project and enabling others, but once completed, I rarely celebrate because I want to get on to the next thing. So why am I telling you all this? It's because I think it's very important that we acknowledge and accept that each of us reacts differently when placed under the stress all of us are experiencing in this present crisis. There's no right or wrong way to handle self-isolation. except that we must do it, but it will have different mental and physical health effects on us, depending on our personality and the circumstances at home, at work, or lack of work, and underlying health or age. So let's be generous to one another, be kind, and give permission for others to respond differently to ourselves. I think the two Bible readings we have today, amongst other important things, can shed some light on this. At Palm Sunday, in the church's calendar, we move rapidly towards the culmination of Jesus' ministry, towards Holy Week, the Last Supper, the crucifixion and the resurrection. Throughout this period, we will hear about the different ways the people close to Jesus reacted. The impetuous yet fearful Simon Peter, the questioning of Philip, the self-resignation of Thomas, "Come, let us go to Jerusalem that we may die with him." I sometimes wonder how all these different personalities coexisted with one another. But then as I pause and think about it, I'm encouraged by that underlying generosity of spirit which must have existed between them, all unified in their faith in Jesus, whom, let's face it, half the time they never really understood. But there were occasions when they all pulled together, is in our reading today from Matthew. In the NIV Bible, the heading to this passage is, "Jesus comes to Jerusalem as King." It starts with Jesus sending two of the disciples to the village to find a donkey with its colt. To the Jewish readers, this would ring a bell. Matthew is doing what he so often does, evidencing Jesus' action with Hebrew scripture. And on this occasion, he hammers it home by quoting the extract from Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious." Matthew says gentle. "Lowly and riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples return with the colt and donkey and place their own cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Then, as Jesus and the disciples descend down the Mount of Olives, a large crowd forms which spread their cloaks on the road and cut branches from the trees, carpet the road. And the crowds, borrowing from our other reading, Psalm 118, shout, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and "Hosanna," which means save and praise. And we learn this led to the whole city asking the question, "Who is this?" Our answer to that question and how, with our different personalities, we respond to that may be what can best hold us together, as it did the disciples at this difficult time. In my previous churches, and indeed in Silchester, the emphasis on Palm Sunday has always tended to be on the celebratory part of Palm Sunday. "Let's join in with the praise party. Hosanna! Wave our palm crosses. Welcome Jesus into our churches and homes. Tuck the palm cross behind the fridge magnet till next year, or pin it above the door." Now, all of that is great, and I wouldn't want to change it. But what does it mean if we don't have the answer to, "Who is this?" After all, we might do the same for a famous footballer, pinning our rosettes and team colours on the notice board. I remember many years ago, standing in a crowd at the top of my road in Southampton, deliriously shouting and waving my hands as the open-top bus went by with the FA Cup. So the question, who is this? To help us explore this, I'll follow Matthew's example and draw our attention to the other reading appointed for today, Psalm 118. The psalmist's starting point is that God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We may not understand God. We may question him. We may argue with him. We may often ask why. But all those issues pale into insignificance if we doubt his essential goodness. And the fact that, notwithstanding the mess we may make of the world or our lives, his love endures forever. And it is because of that he acts by entering this world in Jesus. The Psalms goes on to say, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than in humans. The psalmist cries out to the Lord because he knows he can rely on God's goodness and enduring love. That doesn't mean he hasn't experienced hardships in life. He recalls how his enemies nearly overwhelmed him. But he hung on to the belief that the Lord is my strength and my defence and will be my salvation because of his goodness and enduring love. He comes to the conclusion that the Lord has chastened him severely, but he's not given him up to death. There were lessons to be learned from the experience, an experience inflicted by others, not by God, but which he survived through trusting in God's essential goodness and enduring love. This psalm sets out the personality of God more clearly than any Enneagram number, and then the psalm moves on to say what God is going to do. He is going to rebuild the foundations of the human world. He is going to create a stone, a saviour, a Messiah, which although at first rejected by the world for challenging all that is wrong in the world, will become the very cornerstone of the world. And the world will be encouraged to join in welcoming him with bows in hand as they join the festal procession, crying, "Lord, save us." So this is whom Jesus is. This is the answer to that question, who is this? He is the Messiah, the Saviour, God incarnate. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the God who is good and whose love endures forever. So how might this help us all with our various personalities at this very difficult time? First, as we think on Jesus' crucifixion, as we think on the suffering of the psalmist as well, it is clear that whether or not we understand it, suffering is part of life. Jesus had to die before resurrection. It was through Jesus' suffering that we are redeemed. We don't always have to suffer to find good, but for the psalmist and for us, it was out of Jesus' suffering that came the greater good. And I, for one, pray that out of our present suffering will come the greater good and we don't just slip back into the old ways. Those with a more thoughtful personality may well see this. Those who want everything now need to accept that it isn't always possible. And those whose nature is to be like Thomas may need help to rescue themselves from despair by recalling the hope that is Jesus. Second, Jesus joins with us, whether it is in celebration with palm leaves and partying, or in our suffering. He has experienced all this in his life. He knows what it's like, and he is walking beside us in this, sometimes carrying us, sometimes picking up the pieces, sometimes leading, if we but seek him and listen to him. Those with an imaginative and creative personality will grab at this. Others may find it hard to accept. They just need to step out in faith. Third, Jesus is good. His love endures forever. So no matter what the world may throw at us, he is wanting the best. I don't know how this pandemic came about. I don't know if anyone was at fault, but I do know Jesus is walking with us to help us through it, because he is good and his love endures forever. This is a message for all personalities. It underpins creation, the present and the future. It helps us cope with fear, and if we let it, we'll sweep aside doubt and some of our worries. We're all struggling in different ways, and though how well we manage may depend on the support we have and our relationships, it will also depend on our personality, how well we know ourselves, and how far we allow Jesus and the knowledge of his goodness and enduring love into our lives. So I suggest we need to make allowances for ourselves, to forgive ourselves, to not try and force ourselves to be someone we are not. Make allowances for others. Take down our personality barrier and welcome Jesus as the crowds did on Palm Sunday. And maybe, whilst we can't physically walk it, in our imagination, walk the route with the donkey and our friends and community through the common and down the drove to the church sometime during this Holy Week.